Tonight, Brother Richard Merck is going to come preach to us and for us. He's pastor at Naples Baptist Church for several years, and a wonderful man of God. And where's he at? Oh, there he is. We appreciate him being here. Right now, the Lord has sent us four men, great pastors that's kind of in between churches. I thank God that he trusted us to be able to fellowship with him. And to God has made this church of most important thing, I believe, a place of rest, a place of refuge. So when you pastor a long time and just kind of go in between churches, it's a time for rest, I guess. And we appreciate you listening to God and coming to this church. We love these four brethren so much, and they're precious wives, that they all have such a ministry, and we're blessed to have them. And so God's going to use them, and we appreciate it so much. Brother Richard, pray. Preach for us, brother.
You have a microphone on?
No, I don't.
Use that one?
Yeah, I just use this. I'll try not to get too far from the podium here. If I do, you can just listen a little closer, okay? It's an honor for me to stand here behind this podium. And I thank Brother Roy and his love for us. And like he says, it's been a good reprieve for Beverly and myself to be under good, solid, sound preaching and teaching as we've been here for a little over a year off and on. And I didn't realize how much we needed that reprieve until we came. So thank you, brother, and all you folks for being so welcoming to us. So if you would, turn with me tonight to John's Gospel. John chapter 10, you've heard several good messages from this passage lately. I know I have since I've been here. There's a little different take on it this time, talking about the voice of God, the voice of the shepherd. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. When you find your place, if you'd like to stand and honor the reading of God's word with me this evening. John chapter 10, verse 1 and following. I still hear pages turning. Good to hear. Know that you folks carry the word of God with you, and good to hear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Aren't you glad for that? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. Talking about the voice of the shepherd. You got your ears on? You remember that old saying in the CB radio talk? Got your ears on down there, little buddy, or something like that? Have we got our ears tuned to heaven? That's the main thing, isn't it? Are we listening for the voice of the good shepherd? Are we listening to the voice of our Father? That's the key tonight. He's speaking. It's sort of like my dad used to say. He'd tell us, give us orders on what to do. When we got him to school, go fix the fences or whatever. And he said, now, I'm not talking to you just to hear my head rattle. I want you to hear me and do what I say, okay? And so that's what the Lord is. He doesn't want us to just hear him like he's rattling his head. But he's got something to say to us, doesn't he? And I'm so glad he is that kind of a God that communicates with his people. We just love the Lord, and I love to hear his voice. Sometimes I hear people say, well, God told me this. Sometimes a little red flag comes up. Then I say, well, if it doesn't sound like it's of God's character, I'll say, well, let me ask you something. How'd you hear that voice? Where'd it come from? I just heard it, I know. Said, well, have you been reading your Bible lately? No, hadn't read my Bible. Have you been praying lately? No, I haven't prayed. Said, I sort of doubt if that's the voice of God then. You just have to be honest with people sometimes, don't you? Because these voices can fool us. There's all kind of voices around us today, aren't they, church? You know, you turn on the TV to some of those preachers on TV, and you better be careful. Now, they sound real good on the surface, but sometimes they're not true to the doctrine and the true kingdom principles of the Bible and of God. But anyway, as we look at this passage here tonight, just think about hearing the voice of God, listening to the voice of God. I've never audibly heard the voice of God. He could speak audibly, couldn't he? He certainly can. He has in the past, and he sure could again. But we have his precious word now, don't we, church? And we have that to listen to as we read the Holy Scriptures. Good men of God preach it to us, and teachers teach it to us. And then the Holy Spirit takes that word of God and does a supernatural thing to it, doesn't he? He opens it up to our mind and heart. Have you ever been reading Scripture before, and maybe it's a passage you've been preached to you or taught all your life, and all of a sudden something fresh comes out of that thing? Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Folks, that's the voice of God speaking, isn't it? We think about the voice of God, and as we look at this passage, I see first of all he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door and to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And we read in the Psalms too, Psalm of David, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm glad my Lord and my shepherd is personal and real, aren't you? He's not just some concept or some aspect floating around out there and there. He's real. Said to him, the porter openeth and the sheep hear his voice. You know, as I think about hearing the voice of God, I go back in the Old Testament as well. God spoke audibly in the Old Testament, didn't he? He spoke to Adam, didn't he? After Eve and Adam sinned, he came calling on Adam, said, Adam, where are you? He spoke audibly to Adam. Adam knew what he was saying too, didn't he? He said, boy, I was hiding because I was afraid. You know, they knew they had sinned. Tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. Not sufficient. The only thing sufficient is the blood of Jesus, right? That first animal that God slew. Used that to cover. Showed a good symbol of what was coming for Jesus to shed his blood. Now, I can't help but think maybe that animal skin maybe was dripping with blood when God put it on Adam and Eve. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, folks. I thank God for the shedding of blood of Jesus, my shepherd, my true shepherd. So he's personally talks to us audibly, talked to them audibly. You know, I think about a lot of the other people down through the pages of Scripture. There's Moses, he talked to out of the bush, said an angel of the Lord. Whether it's an angel or whether it's the Lord himself, sometimes it's representative of the Lord himself. But it's a message from God regardless. Coming from the portals of heaven, it's God speaking and letting us know. Abraham, he spoke audibly. All the prophets, he spoke audibly. And all the patriarchs, he spoke audibly. I have no reason in this world to believe otherwise. They heard his voice and they knew it was him. Folks, when God speaks to me through that still small voice, through the word of God and through prayer, I know it's him. I know it's when it's him speaking. So we think about a lot of those people down through the pages of how God spoke. You know, you come on down to the New Testament. Could you imagine over 400 years and God being silent to his prophets? That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Think about the age of our country. It's just over 200 years, right? We think that's a long time. 400 years, God just being silent, no prophets. In the beginning of the era of the New Testament, he started speaking to just a few people along the way. Spoke to, first of all, I guess one of the first ones he spoke to was the old man in the temple. Simeon, was that his name? He said, Simeon, you'll get to see the Christ child before you die. And he did. Spoke to him. Spoke to Mary. Sent an angel, Gabriel, and spoke to her. Mary, you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and bear a child. His name's going to be Jesus. Spoke to Joseph. Let him know that this child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He could go ahead and marry her. All right. Spoke to so many people down the line. And of course, we know he spoke through Jesus, didn't he? The living word. Spoke through him to us. Spoke to some of the folks in the New Testament, those prophets there, the teachers, preachers, the apostles. Jesus spoke to them. All right. The sheep hear his voice because they're familiar with that voice. He called us his own sheep by name. I think about that, Brother Gunn. I think about when he stood before the tomb of old Lazarus. You know, Lazarus been down that tomb for 4 days and four nights. They said, man, he stinketh. Don't roll that stone away. Jesus called him by name, didn't he? Lazarus come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He came out of there, didn't he? He was bound by those grave clothes. How did he get out of there bound? Miraculous thing. It's a God thing, church. I'm glad God does God things. Stuff beyond their logic and their reasoning. And after he brought him out, then he said, release him and let him go. I'm glad God releases us from the penalties of sin through Jesus, aren't you? Hear his voice. Call us his own sheep by name. Lazarus, he called him by name. Yeah, I'm remembering the passage too there at the tomb of Jesus when Mary came. And she was there and there was a voice behind her and she thought it was the gardener. And then the change came when Jesus called her by name. Said, Mary, perked those ears up, didn't it? She recognized his voice. Wow. Do you recognize the voice of God when he calls you? How do you keep in tune to recognize the voice of God? How do you know discerning the voice of God? People that don't ever crack their Bible, people don't ever come to church, I don't need church. I don't need to read my Bible. You know, I have some people say they're Christians, and they say it meaningly, you know, and I understand. They say, well, you know, God hasn't spoken to me lately. And that's where I ask that question again. I say, have you been in your word lately? Have you been under preaching and teaching lately? You know, you'll hear from God if you get serious with him. And I've challenged people many times. I say, listen, if you really want to hear from God, if you want to know what God wants out of your life, if you'll start spending some time with God in his word on a regular basis, and he'll see if you're serious or not. If you're serious with it, he'll start opening himself up to you. I guarantee it. There's no doubt about it. If he sees you're serious and wanting to hear from him, as I said before, maybe from this pulpit, sometimes we don't want to hear from God because he messes with our life, doesn't he? He wants to change our life, doesn't he, church? Do you want to be changed? Or do you want the same old routine life of just floating along? Folks, I want to know what God wants for me. And we're sort of in that waiting stage right now ourselves, you know, as I've shared with you before. It's waiting, and God has assured us he has a plan for mine and Beverly's life. He said, I've got a plan for Naples Baptist Church. I've got a plan for you and Beverly. That's why I won't ask you to step aside, see. It wasn't because of any hard feelings or anything going on in the church. I'm so glad for that, church. I'm so glad. I've seen so many times when there's dissension in churches and preachers had to leave for some reason. But folks, I'm so glad it wasn't that case. And I'd pray about that when I was first called to preach. I said, Lord, I don't want to leave a church before it's my time to leave. And I don't want to leave before it's my time to leave. So he made it clear when it was time. Again, the voice of God. Wasn't audible, but I knew it. He spoke to the ears of this old heart here. I'm glad he does that, church. I'm glad he does that. You know, if we had to wait on that audible voice, I believe it'd take away some of the faith, wouldn't it, Brother Gunn? Don't you love to hear the voice of God? Isn't it precious to you? Wow. I was thinking about this afternoon. We're sitting there and just sort of thumbing through some of my notes here. And of course, I don't, as you know, I've got notes, and sometimes I go by and sometimes I don't. I'm not like these guys here, man. You guys are structured. I appreciate that about you. I've got the notes and I stick with them sometimes. Sometimes the Lord takes me on little rabbit chases, you know. But when it's applicable, it's okay. I have to be flexible to God. Sometimes if I try to stick too closely to it, I just can't feel that freedom for some reason. God uses all of us in different ways, didn't he? I'm glad for that. But anyway, just thinking about the preciousness of God's voice to us. First of all, Jesus is our personal Savior, our personal shepherd. He speaks to his sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. Thinking about when he was walking on the shores of the sea there and calling his disciples to himself. Went by and says, come and follow me. You know, the scripture says they left their nets and immediately followed him. How'd they know to do that? I'll tell you how they knew. Because the Holy Spirit had them prompted and ready. You know, in John 17, that one of the greatest prayers in the whole Bible, to me, the greatest prayer in the whole Bible, where Jesus was praying for himself and God to glorify him and him to glorify God. He had already glorified God. And asking those prayers for his disciples. And he said, well, let's just flip over there, John 17. I don't want to misquote this. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. John 17, verse 6. He said, here's Jesus talking to the Father now. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That's the disciples, okay? Thine they were. Those disciples belonged to God before Jesus came along. Yeah. Aren't you glad for the foreknowledge and foreordaining of God? I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So you see, I believe God had them prepared and prepped, see. They didn't know it. A lot of stuff they didn't understand when Jesus was on earth, you know, just like we just read there. They didn't comprehend what Jesus was saying. And even in some of the parables and some of the things he spoke out boldly. But folks, this time, they heard the voice of God through Jesus. When Jesus said, come follow me, they were ready. And they followed. They didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand when God called me to preach because I'd been asked before. I said, don't you think God may calling you in some kind of ministry? I said, no, and if he does, he's going to have to make it plain. And he did. He went out of his way to make it plain, or I wouldn't be here, folks. I'm glad for the voice of my shepherd, my personal shepherd, who loves me more than I could ever imagine. Aren't you glad for the love of God? This just gets a hold of me, church. Talking about how personal our shepherd is. He speaks to his sheep, and his sheep hear, and his sheep follow. And by his voice, he leads his sheep. He doesn't push them along the way, does he? Sometimes we want to push folks, don't we? So these folks I know that are lost, I'd just like to get a hold of them and shake them and say, come on now. But we can't do that, can we? We plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit work, and then they have to respond, don't they? I'm glad he's a gentleman, God. He doesn't force himself on people. Neither should we. I've known people that would try to force God on folks. If I can persuade somebody to be a Christian in my own power, somebody else can persuade them not to be. The only way it can really take is when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of them and changes their life, folks. And nobody can change that. The devil can't change it. You can't change it, and I can't. And I'm glad for that. So he leads his sheep by his voice. He knows what's ahead, just like this passage talks. He knows what's ahead. The enemy comes along, and he's the real shepherd who who takes care of his sheep, and he's there for them, gives his life for them. So let's talk a little bit about the familiarity of his voice. How familiar is the voice of God to you in your ears? I believe if my wife and 100 other ladies were in a room that I couldn't see them, if I heard her voice, I'd know it. You know why? Because we're in good fellowship with one another. That's how you get familiar with the voice of God. Fellowship with him. Born into that relationship with him anew. You must be born again. You get born again by the power of God. You enter into a personal relationship with holy God through Jesus Christ. And that's secure. I believe in eternal security, folks, with all my heart. Nobody can take us out of the hand of Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? But there's this thing about fellowship, and I think one of the guys was preaching that recently, mentioned fellowship with the Lord. Precious. Precious. Fellowship with my wife. We entered into a relationship when we stood before a pastor one time, and we committed those vows to one another. We entered into a relationship as husband and wife. I haven't regretted a day of it since. I love my wife. You know, and I don't think we've ever gotten out of fellowship. You know, some people can't believe it. I sort of ruined my pastor's illustration one time down in Georgia. He was talking about trusting my wife. And at that time, well, still do to this day, in between haircuts, I've got a straight razor I used to shave with. See, I don't shave much anymore. But have a straight razor, one of them old-time fold-outs like a barber used, you know, and I used to shave with it. And so in between haircuts, sometimes she'll use it to trim the back of my neck. It gets sort of furry back there. And so he was making a point. Of course, he and I were close anyway. It was on Wednesday night or Sunday night one, Brother Roy. He said, Brother Richard, if you and your wife, Beverly, had a major falling out and a major fuss, said, would you hand her that straight razor? I said, well, I don't know. We've never had one. And that's the truth. We've had some disagreements. We've never had a major falling out. And I thank God for that. You know, that's the way it ought to be between us and our Lord, don't it? Never have a falling out with him. If it is, it's not his fault. It's my fault. I told my wife when I married her, I said, I won't ever hurt you intentionally. But if I do, let me know so I can make it right. We've carried that commitment through these 48, be 49 years in June. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my fellowship with my wife, my relationship with my wife. But I thank God more for my relationship, my fellowship with my Redeemer and my true shepherd. What a God we serve, church. He's the only real God, isn't he? He's worthy of praise and worthy of worship. He's worthy of fellowship with, isn't he? How sweet it is just to be in his fellowship. Feeding on his word or sitting under the preaching of good godly preachers like you've got here. God starts stirring that heart of mine. Just like those girls that sang that, my Savior's love. When I think about it, I stand amazed in the presence. Goodness gracious. He's real. I love him. Hope I never get over him. Wow. Anyway, let's see about my notes. See if I got anything I need to cover here. Think about his sacrifice. You know, he was the great high priest who offered the sacrifice. Not only that, church, but he was the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for my sins and yours. That's the kind of shepherd he is to his sheep. He didn't run away. He prayed that prayer in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, he didn't tarry with that thought wrong, did he? Long. He knew his purpose in coming. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Shouldn't that be our prayer every day, church? God, this is sort of what I see that I need as I pray, or the need of my loved one or something. But if this is not the real need, you just cancel my prayer out and you do what you know is best, see? That's what I've learned to try to pray. That's not easy sometimes, is it? Not my will, but yours be done. Every night I sing a song of that sometimes. I'm so thankful for his love and his sacrifice for this old sheep. Undeserving as I was, and I still am, Brother Jason. I'm undeserving, brother. I'm glad it didn't depend on my being deserving because of his mercy. He looked down. He said, Richard can't save himself, so I'm going to provide my mercy for him. And now I'm going to provide my grace, that undeserved merit. Undeserved. But he did it. Aren't you glad? All right. If you're counting, I hadn't been enumerating my points here, but number five is Jesus, our true shepherd, issues a call for whosoever will. And that verse over there we read, he said, other sheep have in my fold. That's you and me. First he sent his disciples and he said, you go to the house of Israel first. They didn't believe as a whole. There are many that did. There are many that accepted Christ, but there are many that didn't. But then he turned them to the Gentiles. That's me and you. Grafted us in. He's not through with Israel yet, though. One day he's going to graft them back in. Right? That's what the scripture tells us. He loves his people. He's still got a plan for them. You look at everything going on over there in Israel. That's not the end for Israel. Just wait. I don't understand it all, folks, but I understand enough to know that God's still in charge. Presidents, leaders of the countries, they don't have power. Just like Jesus told one of the rulers, he said, the only power you have is the power that my Father has given you. Because he told him, says, don't you know that I have the power to either release you or have you crucified? And he said, you don't have the power except what God gave you. Yeah. And I'm paraphrasing. But folks, I'm glad that God is in control. And he still is and he always will be. And one day he's going to bring it to a head. And that could be any time. That's up to him. One day he's going to look at the son at the right hand and say, son, it's time to go get your church, the bride. And that's when it's going to happen. Yeah. He doesn't have to get my permission, Brother Gunn. I'm glad he's in charge. All right. Because he has all power. This is point number six. He has all power in heaven and earth. He told his disciples that in Matthew, didn't he? Go. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I'm with you always. I have all power in heaven and in earth. He still got that same power. He's given the old devil a limited amount of power, right? Right now, because he's the prince of the power of the air that we breathe. He has a lot of influence on planet Earth. Don't let him mess with you. Stay in his word. Stay in tune with his voice. Right? Stay in tune. Filter out all this other junk that's going on. Stay in tune with the Lord. Stay in his word. Stay in tune by listening to good solid preaching and teaching. You'll hear from him. You'll hear from him. Are you really willing for him to have his way in your life? That's the key, isn't it? He's not going to speak to somebody if he knows you're not going to listen. He's not going to waste his breath on it. Does he know that you're willing to respond and obey when he speaks to you? Once I've heard from God, I've never had much problem go following it. Sometimes it's hard to discern, though, isn't it? So glad that Jesus is our shepherd, and he's personal, and he still speaks.
Yes.
Have you heard from him lately? Do you want to hear from him? Yes. Avail yourself to God. God, I'm ready for whatever you have. Here I am. Here I am. Would you stand as we pray, and Brother Roy or Brother Gunn, whoever's going to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that Jesus is our shepherd. Thank you for him being personal, God, and thank you for his voice that still speaks to us. May we be willing and obedient to hear and respond. And I ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.